الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فقد قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام في حديث مشهور من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد رواه البخاري ومسلم في صحيحيهما أو كما قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام respected elders, brothers in Islam. The Hadith Sharif that I have just read to you is a saying in which our beloved Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam offers a very severe warning to those people who try to change the foundation, try to change the basic fundamentals, try to change the basic principles of Islam. In other words, after the completion of our religion, after the revelation had stopped from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He had declared that this is the perfect religion that He has given us, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here is warning against those who try to innovate something new in Islam, and try to create an addition which does not belong to our religion. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this hadith, مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا Whoever innovates something in this matter of ours, meaning in our religion, in Islam. أَحْدَثَ means to innovate something, to start something new. It comes from the word حَدَثَ, which means something new. So whoever starts something in this matter of ours, something new, who innovates something, مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ He starts something or he initiates something which does not belong to Islam, then what? فَهُوَ رَدٌّ Then this matter is rejected. رَدٌّ here means مَرْدُود. It means rejected, it is null and void, it counts for nothing in Islam. In a very similar hadith, another narration from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet warned that every new innovation in our religion is misguidance. كُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ دَلَالَةٍ That whoever starts a new bid'ah in Islam, then that bid'ah is misguidance, dalala. وَكُلُّ دَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ And every type of misguidance will go straight to the hellfire. So there, and very similar narration which gives us an idea of how serious this crime is, this crime of trying to create something new in our religion once it had been laid down by our Prophet, once it had been laid down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At first, this hadith seems to suggest that anything which is new in Islam, therefore it will be rejected, will count for nothing, will be null and void. However, the scholars of the Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah have clarified that this hadith is not to be taken literally. Rather, our ulama have divided bid'ah. Bid'ah means something new. They have divided bid'ah into two types, or two categories. The first category is called bid'ah hasana, good innovation, something which is commendable, something which is in compliance with the Quran and Sunnah. And the second type is bid'ah sayyi'ah, a wrongful bid'ah, a wrongful innovation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith is warning against bid'ah sayyi'ah, against innovation which is against the principles of Islam. Otherwise, those types of bid'ah which still fall within compliance of the Quran and Sunnah is acceptable in Islam. Not, in short, not all new matters in Islam will be automatically rejected. Only those matters will be rejected which defy what the Quran and Sunnah have taught us. So for example, I will give you a few examples of bid'ah hasana, those types of bid'ah which are accepted in Islam. For instance, we see that on the Quran itself, we see that there are dots there, the nukta to differentiate between a ba, between a ta, between a tha. Those dots were actually not present when the Quran was first written down by the Sahaba Ikram. In fact, The Sahaba Ikram, they used to read the Quran without these dots. There were absolutely no dots whatsoever. Even the Zabar Zays we have, the Rafa, the Fatha, the Zamma. This came even much afterwards. But in the original time of the companions, when they wrote down the Qur'an, there were absolutely no dots on the Qur'an. No dots for Ba, no two dots for Ta, no three dots for Tha. All the letters, they were void of this. This was actually an innovation which came about in the times of the Tabi'een, after the companions' time. And it was introduced by a Tabi'i called Yahya bin Ma'mar. He was the first person to put the dots on the Ba, on the Ta, on the Ya. This itself then therefore is a bid'ah hasana. Why is it a bid'ah? It is a bid'ah because this was not present in the time of the Prophet or in the time of his companions. But it is hasana, it is considered as good, because obviously through these dots we are able to read the Quran today. Otherwise it would be quite simply impossible for any of us to read the Quran without these dots. Most Arabs will find it very difficult to read the Quran without the Zabar Ziz. But if you took away the dots, then it would be completely impossible for them to read. So this is an example of Bid'ah Hasana. Reading Taraweeh in Jamaat, in congregation, you will all know that in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Taraweeh prayer used to be performed on an individual basis. Those extra prayers that we perform in the month of Ramadan, everyone used to perform it individually in the time of the Prophet. It was only in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala that people started performing Taraweeh prayers in Jama'ah, in congregation. And famously, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he introduced this new bid'ah, he said, "Ni'matil bid'atu hazihi." That what a great innovation this is. So he admitted himself that this is a bid'ah, but this bid'ah itself is something which is good in Islam. We see on Friday, on the day of Jummah, that there were two azans before the khutbah. The first azan is the one actually for the time, so when we know that the time of Jummah has arrived, just prior to the khutbah of the imam, there is a second azan. This second azan was not present in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was actually introduced in the time of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. And the reason for that, the ulama say, is that because so many people started coming, because Islam had spread so quickly and the Muslim population had grown so fast, it was difficult for everyone to know about the time of Jummah prayers. So just as a second reminder for the Muslims, this second azan was introduced by Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. And this had been a bid'ah which had been acted upon since that very day. Since that time, no one has denied the fact that A, this is jais, this is permissible in Islam, and secondly, they all admit that this was not present in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like this, there are many, in fact probably hundreds and thousands of examples of bid'ahs which are not considered as bad, and still can fall under the category of bid'ah hasana, something which is allowed in Islam. There's an objection that some people make. There's a couple of objections actually. I'll mention just two or three of them. The first objection is that, as we have just mentioned, that the ulama-i kiram have divided bid'ah into two types, bid'ah hasana and bid'ah sayyi'ah. The first objection people raise, our own Muslims, some of them, they say that the Prophet himself said that all types of innovation is misguidance. Kullu bid'atin dalala. All types of bid'ah is misguidance. So why have the ulama divided bid'ah into two types, the permissible and the impermissible? When the Prophet has clearly said that anything new is forbidden and is misguidance, then who has given the right to these ulama to decide that no, some bid'ah we will allow, some bid'ah we will not allow? Who has given this authority to the ulama? Who has allowed these ulama to say that no, we will not take the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on face value, rather we will split the atoms and we will say no, he only meant some things on you? To answer this question, let us return back to the words of the hadith that I originally narrated. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man ahdasa fi amrina haza." Whoever innovates something in this matter of ours, i.e. in our religion, ma laysa minhu, This is the key part of the hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever innovates something in Islam that is not part of it, that is not part of Islam. So this is almost like a condition now for the definition of bid'ah, that it has to be something new, and secondly it has to be something which is not part of Islam. This itself implicitly suggests that there are two types of bid'ah. From this we understand that if a bid'ah is introduced, something new which is not part of Islam, then that is going to be rejected. And these words of the Prophet suggest that if someone introduces something in Islam which is part of Islam, then that will be accepted. That is something which will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see countless ahadith, countless practices from the Sahaba ikram, which prove that clearly. One hadith I will read to you, similar one, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man sanna fil Islam sunnatan hasanatan falahu ajruha." Whoever starts a new practice in Islam, what kind of new practice? Sunnatan hasanatan, a good practice. Falahu ajruha, then he will get his reward.
Subhan.
So this suggests as well that you can start a new practice in Islam as long as it's a good practice, and as long as it complies with the beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his teachings. One other example I will give you. We all have heard the words of talbiyah. Talbiyah are those words which we pronounce when we go on Umrah, when we go on Hajj. The word that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught was labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. Anyone who has been on Umrah or Hajj will know that these form a very important part of the rituals there, and it is a sign that a person has entered into Ihram. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he used to read these words, exact same words. However, it is clearly reported from many sources that the Prophet used, that Sayyidina Umar, sorry, he used to add additional words to this talbiyah. In other words, he made up his own words to add to the labbaik that we ordinarily read. And these words that Sayyidina Umar used to add himself was labbaik Allahumma wa sa'daik, al khayru fi yadaik, wal amalu wal rugaba'u ilayk. These are the words which Sayyidina Umar used to say. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not teach him these words. He made these words up himself, you could say. But none of the companions said to Sayyidina Umar that you have introduced these words, these are wrong. Nobody said to Sayyidina Umar that you have started a practice which is against the teachings of Islam. Rather, quite the contrary. We see that the people accepted that these are also words which can be read as well. Why? Because the meaning of this labbaik that Sayyidina Umar read was no different to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taught. In other words, that these words that he had did not contravene what Islam, what the Quran and what the Sunnah was already teaching. The last objection I will talk about is one that if you have said now that there are two types of bid'ah, there is bid'ah hasanah, there is bid'ah sayyi'ah, and that you will allow some innovation, one person could ask then, that what is the purpose in the first place then of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offering such harsh words against innovation? If you are going to allow some types of innovation, then why are we hearing these such severe words from the Prophet warning against those people who start this kind of new practices in Islam? What is the purpose behind the Prophet's words then? Very clearly he said that all types of innovation is misguidance, and misguidance will go into the hellfire. What is the purpose behind these powerful words if we suddenly seem that we are allowing so many types of bid'ah? We are allowing Mawlid Sharif, you could argue, is one type of bid'ah. To celebrate the urs of different awliya ikram, this is a type of bid'ah. You are introducing all of these types of bid'ah, so where does that leave the Prophet's original words? In answer to that, we just need to briefly look at what has happened to Christianity and what has happened to Judaism to answer this question. Today, quite clearly, if tomorrow, for instance, Sayyidina Musa or Sayyidina Isa were to descend to earth and they were to see the state of Judaism and to see the state of Christianity, they would not be able to recognize the religion. Sayyidina Isa would perhaps think to himself, when he looks at Christianity, that is this the religion that I taught? It is completely different to what the message I left to my followers. We see that in these religions before us, that the people, they have changed the fundamentals of their religion time and time over and over again, to the extent that the original form and the form we see now are almost two complete different religions. Just in our low times, in our own lifetime, think of all the changes that have happened to Christianity. We have seen that they have allowed female clerics, they have allowed gay clerics, they have allowed same-sex marriages. I mean, it won't be very soon before we will see gay marriages in churches. And we see this, and what they have done is they have allowed practices to come in based on the cultural trends, based on social changes that are happening in each society. They are letting that infiltrate into the religion, and what it is doing, it is tearing down the basic foundation of their own religion. And in that respect, we Muslims are lucky that we are not allowing our religion, the foundations of our religion, to change because of these small factors. In that sense, we should be proud to be fundamentals. If a fundamentalist means to adhere to the original teachings of Islam, we should say with pride that we are fundamentalists, that we will not tolerate the changes that are happening to other religions. We will stand up to when Islam says that it is against homosexuality, we stand up to that, and we will not move with the times. Just because some people criticize us, we are not going to deny the fact that the punishment for a thief is a cutting of the hand. We are not going to change it just to please some Americans or please the Amnesty International, for instance. In that sense, we are fundamentalists. We believe that Islam has laid down the foundation of our religion, and very little will be done to change that. Otherwise, if we allow these changes to happen, then the Islam that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught, and the end result will be totally different. So bid'ah, this whole idea of the Prophet warning against people changing the fundamentals and the foundations of our religion, is to stop people from turning Islam into a different picture from what the Quran originally taught. Let me give you one example and then I will conclude. Almost 2 years ago exactly, on March the 18th, 2005, there was a woman who considered herself a professor, Amina Wudud, and she actually tried to prove that in Islam it is permissible for women to lead Jama'at prayer, to lead congregational prayer. And in fact, she went to the extent to organize a Jummah prayer where she would be leading the prayers and she would be reading the sermon. And she actually done that, and unfortunately a handful of misguided Muslims actually read behind her as well. What we saw after this event was worldwide condemnation from the Muslims regarding what Amina Wudud had done. From all corners of the earth, through television, through the internet, through newspapers, through ulama-i kiram in their own mosque, they condemned this action, and they clearly said that what Amina Wudud has done is an innovation, it is a bid'ah, it is something which is not allowed in Islam. If, for instance, we did not have this idea of bid'ah, if we did not have this idea of innovation, then perhaps we would see that 2 years later there would be many more mosques that would allow women to lead Jama'at prayer. If we did not have this system of ensuring that no one starts new practices that are not found in the Quran and Sunnah, then perhaps in 10 years time we would find that every other mosque perhaps would have a female imam. With this issue, the Quran and the Sunnah clearly state that a woman cannot lead prayer, especially Jummah prayer, especially leading the sermon on the day of Jummah. This, the ulama-i kiram and indeed the public, they put a stop to this, and they made it clear that this is an innovation in religion. We will not stand for it, even if it is going to impress the Americans and the feminist movements in America, even if it perhaps suggests that Muslims are now being more progressive and are moving away from their fundamentalist stance that they have shown in the past. So this episode shows that Bid'ah, it does perform a very important function today. It stops people from changing the basics of our religion. Otherwise, unfortunately, there are plenty of Muslims today who would quite happily like to see Surah Tawbah taken out of the Quran. There are many Muslims, unfortunately, today who perhaps would argue that all those ayahs, all those ahadith which talk about the punishment of the adulterer and the thief, to remove those and to abrogate them. There are plenty of people, unfortunately our own Muslims, who perhaps would want to change the rulings regarding women in Islam. Unfortunately, this will not happen for these people. And we should be proud of the fact that we promote this idea that we will practice that religion laid down by Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all those hundreds of years ago. And we will not allow this idea of progressiveness just for the sake of it, just for some cultural and social factors or political factors that might exist in our time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give guidance to these misguided people.
Amen.
And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ensure that the basis, the fundamentals of our religion remain so until the day of judgment.
Ameen.
Wa ma alayna illa al-balaghul mubeen. Just before dua, I'd like to request you all to please inform your brothers, your friends as well about this dars. As you can see, it is a very short dars. It's only 20-25 minutes, and in a week of hundreds of hours, 20 or 25 minutes to listen to the sayings of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a very small amount of time, and it is time well spent. If you are unable to come to these dars, or if your friends are unable to come to this dars, then please let them know that this dars is also available as an MP3 download on the website. If you go to the Islamic Center's website, islamiccenter.org, then under the multimedia section, each Darsi Hadith is recorded and then put onto the internet, so you can download this onto your iPod, onto your MP3 player, so you can listen to it whenever you have an opportunity. So please let your other friends and brothers know about this event, and let them know that it is also available as a download for them as well. Jazakallah khair. آمين الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء ربنا اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب اللهم عنا على تلاوة القرآن وذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك
آمين.
اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدين والدنيا والآخرة
آمين.
فسهل يا إلهي كل صعب بحرمة سيد الأبرار فسهل
آمين.
وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه ونور عرشه محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.